This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
We should ram the thunder. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford is the largest selection and best price with locations at Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael. And we'll say good evening to Don. This is a ripe, delicious pineapple.
Well, I don't know how ripe and delicious
it is. It's ripe and delicious.
Rams the thunder. I think we should attack that line. We should ram the thunder.
Well, guys, welcome to ENN. Happy to be here.
Hey.
Excited. Today's my second to last day in the studio this week. One more day tomorrow. And then I'll be in Las Vegas for Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder.
Now, how do we miss you at all? You'll be in Vegas Thursday?
On the show. I'll be fully on the show for 2 days, though.
Nice.
Friday's going to be a very interesting show.
And on television.
Triple-pronged effort.
You're in New York.
No, Don's in New York?
No, I'm in Raleigh.
Don's in Raleigh. You're in Vegas. And I'll be in Tampa, Florida at Yankee Stadium.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Have we ever tried this?
I'm sure.
Have we done it, Andrew?
No, but none of the three are in New York.
I think we have, Andrew.
We definitely have.
None of us are even in New York?
I'm sure that it's happening.
I don't think so.
It's another reason to listen to this fine program.
So hold on. And is yes?
Camera everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
That yes is never a problem.
By the way, why do they want us on camera so much?
Because it's a television show, you nudnik.
But that's going to cost a lot of money to make that happen.
Yeah, but you think back to...
So what would you like? Just a shot of Andrew in the studio while we spoke?
Here, let's just show Andrew while I talk. You going to show Andrew while I talk?
No.
Oh, Andrew will be in Milwaukee spooning with his friends at the Pfister.
All right, let's say...
Excuse me?
That's the name of the hotel in Milwaukee.
What's the name of the hotel?
The Pfister. Right, P-F-I-S-T-E-R.
Well, listen, I can't get into whatever works for you. Now, if they had that attitude of just putting up my picture, then as well as Gil worked on radio, the Gil bit really was sold on television by my reaction. You would have lost my reaction because I was in Washington. So my reaction when
a great point.
The whole Gil call was going on, it would have just been me standing like this, smiling.
That's a great
point.
You don't
want that.
No. You know what? Listen, I'm very appreciative of yes.
Yes spares no expense, right, Michael?
None.
Is that true?
His salary alone would cripple most networks.
You know what? You're such an idiot. You're not telling the truth, and take that back.
What do you mean? Why would he?
I don't want him to say that.
But he did.
It would cripple SNY. They'd be Y.
Oh, my God. That's true.
They'd be the Y network.
They'd get rid of the S and the N. They can't afford the S and the N. We're just the Y network.
They
just pay Keith Hernandez a truckload of money. Truckload.
That's a truckload, but that truck is
smaller than
your truck. Matchbox car compared to your truck.
You know what?
You have a Brinks truck.
I'm not getting in your pocket.
In my pocket, but you're getting in the ear of people that own the network now. Well, let's take a look at K's.
They don't know how much they pay you?
Well, they know. They don't want to be reminded of it.
Well, I think you remind them by doing outstanding work on multiple facets.
I think I'm well
Yankee
worth it.
Games, the Michael K Show.
I think I'm the best at what
stage.
I do in the entire country. Let's be honest.
Well,
yeah,
you're so modest.
I would probably have you do Yankeeography just to kind of balance out the money
away
that I
Sterling's
yes.
job. You're out of your mind. Andrew will be in Milwaukee spooning with his friends.
I would take the job away from Sterling.
Why?
And then not pay you to do it to balance it out.
More ideas from Don, who has not shut up the entire show.
Now, earlier in the show,
I knew it. You had a problem with the passion interview, didn't you? You had a problem with the passion interview.
Big time.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Wait a second.
I'm going to open it up.
A seven-minute stretch where I didn't speak.
Well,
7 minutes.
Hold on.
Because you were trying to badger our guest into saying what you wanted him to say.
Did you do the research on time?
It's being done.
right
no,
now?
But I
you guys
just,
close?
See, I just knew it. I knew he'd have a problem with it because it was
how
my
could you
fight.
Not?
It was my fight and we were getting into
but
it.
But it was bad. But first of all, there was one question that you asked that was 2 minutes and 43 seconds long. The question. That's the question.
It wasn't really a question. It's more
120. I've been told the number's 120.
Is that what it was, Andrew? 120?
Yeah, it was a minute 20.
120 but, is unforgivable for the length of a question.
There's only one way to describe what happened. With a question that long.
See, I had a...
It was horrifying.
I had a feeling, just by the facial expression...
I almost got up and walked out.
I was passionate about the subject, but because of Michael's facial expression, I said, I'm really ticking him off.
No, you weren't ticking
me off.
First of all, passion should never come on the show again, just on principle.
Oh, my God.
Because it was an inquisition where you were like a defense lawyer, and you were trying to get him I did it. He didn't have your thought process.
Well, but we were doing radio, Michael.
Bad radio.
I don't look at that as an interview. It's a bunch of guys just talking
you
sports.
You watch when the ratings come out for that.
Really?
Yep.
You're not even going that from a personal level that your time was taken away.
I don't
you
care
think
about,
it was bad
first
radio?
First of all, if it was good radio, I don't care if I spoke for 4 hours. I don't care if I don't speak
You don't
at
think
all.
It was good radio? All right.
No, I thought it was tedious.
You thought it was mediocre?
Somewhat pedantic.
Thought, because of your yo-yo face, I said, you know what, I'm going to DM Passon and apologize.
Did you do that?
Yes.
First of all, why would you apologize to Passon? Shouldn't you apologize to me?
No, great. Because you DM Michael to apologize to Michael.
No, why would I apologize to you?
Well, you didn't do anything on to Passon. Well, except maybe over-talk him a little bit.
Okay, the back and forth when you were going at him like a bull, like Ram Sundar, okay, 7.5 minutes. I sat here. I could have put my finger up my nose.
You don't
my
think
knuckle.
Some of that? You don't think some of that was just? You don't like us going back and forth? It just didn't involve you, so you were disinterested.
It wasn't back and forth. You were pummeling somebody who was cowering in the corner.
Oh,
in a
come on,
position.
He can take it. Then why was this? He doesn't need me. He could probably get me fired. Jeff Passon. Sorry if I came off rude today. I said sorry if I came off rude today. I get passionate and talk over you a bit. I'm sorry for that.
And what did he say?
Not at all. Seriously, don't ever apologize for trying to argue your point.
Wow, what a great guy. I love Passon.
Yeah, Michael, you want to apologize? Passon not have his say?
No, he got his say. Michael's
you know,
didn't
you know
get his
the,
say.
After the DM to Don, you know what he did?
What?
It was a DM to Jim Pitaro.
Then fire me. Fire me and see what it's like.
Yeah. We'll see what it's like.
No, because...
Here we go.
So you think it was just bad radio?
No. I didn't say bad. Awful.
How could you say that?
It was awful.
Peter, honestly. He feels he wasn't involved in it.
Involved?
But I was,
Peter,
we were,
let's open up the curtains here. Peter said 8 words today. 8.
It
he has
was
not
horrifying.
Contributed to the show at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's tough for
Don was 86%
well, okay,
today.
I admit right now, I find the baseball, the Astros thing very interesting. But we're on day 37 straight, and I'm
ready. There's going to be 150
but
straight
days. But when there's games playing and people are getting hit, now I got something to talk about. What do you want me to do? What am I going to ask Jeff Passon when I have you two baseball savants here to talk to him?
It's a joke.
And when would I have squeezed in next to Don?
You couldn't. Nobody
so
could.
So I didn't have an option.
Awful radio. You agree with him.
No, I don't agree.
Listen,
You agree with him,
man.
Awful radio.
I take that back.
No, you can't take it back.
It wasn't awful. It was all-time terrible.
It was horrifying.
Thank you.
No, all right.
That's everybody agrees.
No, I do not agree. I do.
It disturbs me.
It's not true.
That we could be that off base that I think that it was good radio, the back and forth that we had.
It was not. If it was back and forth, it would be great. It was badgering.
Passon was bad. He came back at
geez.
Him.
Because Don's got that big bullhorn of a voice, and Jeff is kind of like softly going, well, Don, no, you're wrong. It was awful. It was unlistenable. Right. You know who thanks you?
Who?
I'm
Joe
sorry,
and Evan,
but I'm
thank
passionate.
You. Oh, my. Now you went too far. Don might walk out.
Anyway, it's your show.
What do you mean it's my show? It's your show, too.
Nah.
All right. Well, Drew Brees says he's back for a 20th season. I posted on Instagram. My feelings about the 2020 season. I look forward to the grind and the journey. For the reward at the end will be worth it. Love you, Who Dat Nation. Let's make another run at it. Here's Louis Riddick on SportsCenter.
Not many people believe that Drew right now has hit a wall or that his play is declining in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, many believe if people around him would play better and he had someone else to go with Michael Thomas, that this is a team that right now is still within that window to compete for a Super Bowl title.
So there you have it. The question is, what does this mean for Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill? Here's Taysom Hill on the Adam Schefter podcast.
I'm so excited for Drew to come back. You know, he's become such a good friend, such a, you know, great mentor to me. And, you know, when we had conversations, I told him that, man, I sure hope he came back and played. I felt like it was better for the NFL for him to be playing. And certainly, you know, a great thing for the Saints and for all of us to continue to watch him play.
It's not great for Tayshaun, though. The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall because he's going to be 30 years old and still being a backup.
Have you ever heard a lie like that at the beginning?
I'm so excited.
A lie, right away.
By the way,
first words.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I have more Astro stuff to annoy you.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred is speaking right now in Arizona, and he said, in an effort to make a rhetorical point, I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way.
This is interesting.
It was a mistake to say what I said.
Correct. I like that.
And then he should have gone on to say, now I take it away from the Astros.
Well, now I told you that King James has weighed in on the Astros
situation.
Tell
us, what did he say?
The Condor has spoken. He did a flyover today. Here we go. LeBron James, listen. I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports. I didn't know that. And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would, could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball, baseball, he has the emoji, is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. Hashtag just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie regardless my own sport I play.
His words carry weight. So you can see, by the way, I don't know if you checked, he's very close to you in terms of numbers, but he has 45.2 million Twitter followers.
Yeah. He's rather popular, LeBron James, and I think a lot of people look up to him.
Further, the Manfred quote, he said, this was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. Well, I mean, when a guy apologized like that, he owned up to it. I don't have a problem with that. It was a dumb thing to say. And he said, hey, it was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, what else can you do? And listen, it's not like he said something. It's one of those situations in which the apology is enough, right?
Yeah, I think it is enough.
Like, you hear someone secretly talking, right? You hear what's-his-face, Donald Sterling, caught on tape saying horribly racist stuff, being himself, and then later goes, I'm sorry I was caught. That's one thing. Manfred was speaking openly and publicly, was probably emotional, said too much, has to know it was stupid. So I agree with you, Michael. I have no problem with the apology. I think it's the right move. What else can you do?
I've got some tweets about the passing interview.
Okay.
Dro said, I thought the passing interview was fantastic, but to be honest, I fully thought Peter was off today until about 30 minutes ago.
Wow. How did I get this?
Connie Chat said, this segment is exactly why I love TMKS. Brandon Kicks goes, I listened to the whole interview. Loved Don, but I thought Michael and Peter got up and walked out. Thought it was passing and Don. Sorry, Michael. It was Carlos Martinez. Sorry, Michael. It was quite the opposite. Great radio with great debate about a polarizing subject. Passing is a great guest, by the way. Love the show, gentlemen. From Australia, with love.
I'm just so confused.
Badugi says, Don's a hack. Shouldn't be allowed to be part of interviews.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what Badugi said.
I'm confused. Someone posted a GIF. Michael Kaplan, official Cappy with a K on Twitter, posted a GIF of Courtney Cox in The Longest Yard.
Right.
I'm just confused.
Why?
I just have a lot of questions. There are things that are different about this movie than anything else that I've ever seen throughout her career.
This is close to her in Ace Ventura, though.
It's that era? But that's
No, it's much after that. This was after
Friends?
Friends, yeah.
This was post Friends?
I believe so, yeah.
I think 05.
I'm very confused. I mean, it's a good confusion, but it's confusion nonetheless. We talked about players continuing to speak up about the Astros. Nick Markakis on 680 The Fan in Atlanta.
It angers you, especially from a guy who has played the game the right way his whole career. No shortcuts. I know how hard this game is. I know how hard preparing for this game is. And to see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. It's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Now, here's another quote just from Manfred. I wonder if this changes your opinion at all.
Where's he dropping his quotes?
He's speaking in Arizona right now. He speaks every year in the Florida camps. And Stephanie Epstein writes, on the question of not punishing players, Rob Manfred said the MLBPA refused to make Astros available for interviews without blanket immunity. So why are they mad at him? Why are they mad at Tony Clark? Why are the players mad at Manfred? He could not even interview them without giving blanket immunity. Don't you think that they should be mad at their union?
Well, they got to be mad at Tony Clark.
You would think.
Or themselves and the main people that, in the union.
I mean, it's unbelievable. They couldn't even interview them unless granted blanket immunity. So it wasn't.
By the way, why agree to that, though? Why
because they didn't think they could get the information any other way.
But why doesn't Manfred just say, no, that's not a fair term to even have a conversation. We're going to have to go to litigation or something.
Because I think he also realized, Peter, that Luhnow and Hinch never told the players. So there's no way he would win in any court. The players were never told that you can't do this.
Now, somebody made the point on Twitter, though. I knew about it because I saw it. We talked about it. I mean, the letter that it was talked about openly that they were warned. That
not,
a letter
but
was sent
the
to the
players.
Astros. But it was in the news. I mean, they probably watched SportsCenter, right? They may not have been directly told by Crane or Luhnow, but did they pick up the paper? Did they watch SportsCenter?
That's a good point. But
they watch MLB Network.
I guess in a court of law, though, that's indefensible that they're not told by their superiors.
But I guess the players could still just be mad at the fact that they cheated.
But they should be mad at their union. Sometimes it's not infallible. The union is protecting the criminals.
No, I know that. But the anger that you're hearing about taking a championship away, that they cheated, that they should be beaten up, thrown at, they're just mad that they cheated. Like, they could be mad, I think, at Manfred for not punishing them, but they're still mad at the cheaters.
True, but they are mad that they're not punished. They have said that. They have not been punished. Manfred dropped the ball. No. Your union dropped the ball.
Right. But when they say the punishment's a joke, that's a shot at Manfred. But when they're talking about how we're going to throw at them, I think the title should be stripped away, I'm disgusted, upset, that's being upset at the fact that it happened in the first place. Like, you could still be mad at the criminal, even if he's sent to prison for life. You're still mad at the guy for committing the crime, right? Did I say too much?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Ryan Newman is in serious condition after the Daytona 500 crash yesterday. However, there is good news now. He is awake and speaking with family and doctors just a day after his really terrifying crash on the final lap of the Daytona 500.
Did you see it?
So I'm watching it right now for the first time.
It's amazing that this man is alive. I mean, thank goodness he is, but it's unbelievable.
The second hit when he's twisting around.
I don't get it. I never
get it. By a car that's going 200 miles per hour. And then you see that. And he's relatively okay. No life-threatening injuries, in the hospital, stable condition. And then you see the accident that killed Earnhardt. And you're like, it just doesn't equate, right? You remember the accident that Dale was in. Like, how did that kill somebody? And this accident.
Oh, my God. He gets hit again. He flies. And then.
They really do a good job. And a lot of that, too, is
credit. Look how long he's skidding for.
To the Hans device and the fact that they figured out what went wrong in Earnhardt's car and made improvements to the safety. A lot of that is credited to the fact that Ryan Newman's okay today.
You have to think about how many. Oh, my God. How many lucky breaks there are, you know, of inches that are life and death right there. But he is doing better right now. Let's actually hear from Steve O'Donnell, the NASCAR Chief Racing Development Officer.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation and will provide more information as it becomes available.
Here's Denny Hamlin, who won the Daytona 500, conflicting feelings about winning and thinking about his friend.
It's a weird balance of, you know, excitement and happiness for yourself, but obviously someone's health and their family's, you know, bigger than any win in any sport. So, you know, we're just hoping for the best.
You see Joe Gibbs apologize?
Why do you apologize?
Because they were celebrating.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that a crash took place. They were going crazy because they
won. Final lap.
This was the final lap. And then he came out because he's Joe Gibbs and he's great. And he said, listen, we didn't know. I would never have done that.
That's NASCAR drop of the ball, though.
Yeah, they threw out the confetti and everything.
Because they can get in their ear and say, listen, we got a situation here. You guys won, but
hold tight.
Hold tight.
Yeah, but of course Gibbs did the right thing because he's literally the classiest man who's ever lived.
I think he's going to become a coach after Ron Rivera.
Because
I take him back to 80.
That accident was just before the finish line. Newman was leading and got taken out, and then they won the race. So it's
wait,
perfect.
Newman was leading?
Yeah,
too?
So that's right at the finish line that accident happened. So it's completely understandable.
How many times has it ever happened in a major race that someone leading crashed in the final lap?
No, it's happened a bunch of times for sure. You remember Talladega Nights? They had that actually run to the finish
line.
Well,
but Don, that was
fiction.
I got to help you out here.
No, I. But
it
no,
happens it, though it, on it, a final
it, no,
lap.
It's happened because you're,
people are going for it.
You're going for it at that point, and he was taken out.
And he actually skidded across the line and finished fourth. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So Hamlin finishes and wins, but it's completely logical why he wouldn't know anything because he just won the race. He doesn't know what's happening behind him at that point. But somebody in NASCAR has got to say, don't do the donuts. Let's not pop the confetti. Let's wait. Let's see what happens here.
This is a ripe, delicious pineapple. That was earlier, not this moment. I'm rewatching one more time. Okay, I could see how maybe
that's the finish line.
Yeah, the two cars in front could not be
and it was
aware.
A photo finish, and it was a great finish.
Wow. Unbelievable. But anyways, we're just glad he's all right. San Francisco Giants said on Monday that they will not invite Aubrey Huff to a reunion of the 2010 World Series San Francisco Giant team because of unacceptable comments made by Huff on social media. Earlier this month, we reached out to Aubrey Huff to let him know that he will not be included in the upcoming 2010 World Series Championship reunion. He has made multiple comments on social media that are unacceptable and run counter to the values of our organization. While we appreciate the many contributions that Aubrey made to the 2010 championship season, we stand by our decision.
You know, it's weird how this narrative is being steered by different sides. And a lot of people saying, well, you're just saying that because, you know, he's a conservative and supports the president. No, that's not it. If you read the stuff that he said, it was just offensive. And it's not a freedom of speech situation. It's a private corporation who's choosing to invite somebody back. Now, the other tack they could have taken was to invite him back. Let him get introduced on the field, and he would have been booed out of the ballpark. I mean, the stuff that he's written is so offensive. Forget about right, left, center, whatever. It's just offensive. It's filthy. And why would you want to be associated with that?
Well, but here's the rub in this whole thing. Huff tweeted out a long letter, I guess, to the fans. He said, it's true. 3 weeks ago, I got a call from Larry Bird, CEO of the San Francisco Giants. He took me by surprise when he told me I was unanimously voted against attending the 2010 Giants World Series Championship reunion. When I asked why I wasn't invited, he told the board didn't approve of my Twitter posts and my political support of Donald Trump.
Lies.
Now, I don't think he said lies.
The last part I find very difficult to believe.
Lies. No way they would have said that.
The Giants are going to have a female bench coach. First time ever in the history of baseball, like in uniform on the bench. And he had some derogatory things to say about how he couldn't listen to a female coach. I mean, that alone.
And also now, the stuff he said about going and getting Arab women to come
back. He's talking about taking Iranian women back to America and making them sex slaves.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude, you're garbage. You're human garbage. Don't make it about – they always have to add on. It's about my political beliefs.
I'll tell you, if Larry Bear said we don't like the fact that you support Donald Trump, that he's dead wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you don't uninvite somebody because of that. Because of the filthy, derogatory, misogynistic things that he said. Not about who he supports.
But that's what gets spun is now he'll get support because now the theme will be that he's being banned because he supported Donald Trump, that he's a...
It's lazy.
And it's also a real tightrope fraught with a lot of peril for the president if he wants to support this guy because of that one line because... If Donald Trump comes out in favor of Aubrey Huff and then it's just, I mean, everything that he's tweeted out comes out, then you're endorsing that. So, I mean, if I'm the president, I steer clear of this one. He should not get involved in this.
And also, did you see that in Huff's statement too? He also took shots at the owner for having that incident with his wife.
Right. No, Larry Bear, yeah.
He brought up the incident where Larry Bear got into like a public altercation with his wife.
And he gets suspended for 6 months.
Right. So. Class act.
Now, after this show today, Chris Carlin's going to be on. Mm-hmm. And Carlin,
I love that show.
Earlier,
what's it called again?
You know what it's called.
Carlin.
Yeah. He tweeted earlier, I'm paraphrasing because I haven't been able to look it up yet, just basically that why just let him get invited and let him get booed by the fans. But here's the problem. It's a celebration of the 10th anniversary. Now it's all going to be about him.
Yeah.
So they don't want him there. And I'm behind that. It's, again, people confuse this with freedom of speech. Like, we're taking Aubrey Huff's freedom of speech away. No, we're not. Nobody's putting him in jail for the things that he said.
That's right.
It's just that
you can't come to my party.
You're free to say it, but guess what? I'm free not to invite you to an event.
Sorry, my team. Roy Williams has sounded off after yet another North Carolina loss. They now are 10-16, 3-12 in the ACC. Here's Roy.
You got two choices. You can compete your butt off, or you can get up in the fetal position and curl up and start crying. I'm not going to freaking do that. We're going to, excuse me. I apologize to everybody. We're going to freaking compete. And that's what we're going to do. We play Saturday. You can feel sorry for yourself, and you feel sorry for yourself, and you're going to do that the rest of your freaking life.
As you can tell, he's pretty pumped up. We spoke earlier about Joe Burrow and his potential leverage in the draft process and the suggestion that he would maybe want to force his way out of Cincinnati. Here's Emmanuel Acho on Get Up talking about the situation with Joe Burrow.
Burrow's last name is Burrow. It's not Manning. Mm-hmm. Manning had leverage inherently because that last name grants you leverage, both with Peyton and obviously with Archie. What Burrow isn't saying is actually what speaks all the volumes. You're the number one pick. Guaranteed the number one pick, should be, barring anything crazy. You say, I'm eager to be a Cincinnati Bengal. I can't wait to get there. They're about to throw you a boatload of money and guarantee it. But Burrow's sitting here saying things like, I have leverage. He seems very noncommittal, not good at all.
And lastly,
don't trade him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that is your pick. If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, you had that. They lost an entire season. What were they, 1-15? They're absolutely awful. You're getting Joe Burrow. I don't care what he wants. Sorry. Figure it out.
Yeah, either play for us or don't play. See ya.
Kyrie Irving has been elected as a vice president of the National Basketball Players Association. He's replacing Pau Gasol. Here's Kendrick Perkins with some strong thoughts on the matter on SportsCenter.
To me, it's the blind leading the blind. Kyrie has proven to all of us that he's not a leader. And I don't understand this for the life of me. Maybe he surprised the world and become this better person overnight. But when he was with the Celtics, he wasn't a good leader. And now he's in Brooklyn. We had several occasions where he didn't threw guys under the bus or whatever the case may be, saying that he don't need certain guys or he want this guy back. And it's just, I don't see those leadership skills in Kyrie. So hopefully he proves me wrong, because the Players Association has been moving forward in a great way, so hopefully he don't ruin it.
I got to tell you what, ESPN's getting its money's worth.
Kendrick?
Wow. He doesn't pull many punches.
No. Kendrick Perkins?
Just because you might not be a good teammate doesn't mean that you wouldn't be a good union leader.
No, but I do hear what you're saying. If you're looking for something from a leadership standpoint, and the main thing we've seen from Kyrie that I think is questionable is not his play on the court, but his leadership.
This is different leadership, though.
True.
I mean, he's really a smart guy.
100%. But it is a leadership position, so I understand what Kendrick's saying. That'll do it for ENN on this.
Really good.
Thank you.
Really good.
What is today?
Don's not clapping. I wonder why.
Tuesday. Well, I think you hurt his feelings earlier.
I didn't hurt his feelings.
Oh, yeah. He's not happy.
I don't want to take up too much time.
See?
Too late. 1-800-919-3776. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls, lead you right into Carlin. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.